Cape Talk.
Food.
Well, whether you love it or hate it, one thing is for sure, beer remains one of the world's most celebrated adult beverages. And right now, the craft beer trend is booming and booming some more. A growing number of local craft breweries springing up and reinventing classic styles. And today we're joined in studio by two beer lovers who've taken their passion to the next level with what they call the hashtag brew food movement. It's a great pleasure to welcome Murray Slater, who's the co-owner of Beer House on Long Street, and Pitt Marais, who you probably recognize as a previous winner of Ultimate Brewmaster. He's the man behind the Brew Food menu. It's great to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Listeners, if you have questions about anything to do with beer and about pairing beer with food and even about cooking with beer, if you're wondering about the difference between lagers and ales, if you're wondering how to choose the perfect glass for your beer, anything like that, please give us a call on 021-446-0567 or leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Maybe you've got a famous favorite beer that you've tasted somewhere else in the world that you want to tell us about. Maybe you've got a particularly favorite local craft beer that you want to sing the praises of. Anything like that is welcome. By way of added incentive, I'm going to award a copy today of the book Beer Safari by Lucy Korn, which is really a journey through craft breweries in South Africa. It's published by Straight Lifestyle, valued at around 275 Rand. I'm going to give away a copy to the best caller in the next half hour. So get dialing, please, with your questions and comments, or leave us a voice note if you prefer. Murray, let's start with the story of Beer House. Tell us a little bit about the business.
Well, it's a yellow building to start off with, which a lot of people actually reference us as, oh, the yellow building. So yeah, a long story short, started in Long Street. We're at 2013, so what, four years, approaching five. A German business partner by the name of Randolph decided that he really would like to have an awesome beer house in South Africa, which is real based on variety and loads of beers, but also a nice social atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And he now lives in South Africa. But at the time, he was going around Europe and experiencing all these big beer halls and going, why can't South Africa do this?
Yeah.
We had our beer revolution starting here, with a whole bunch of microbreweries starting. Mm-hmm. So there was variety starting. So really jumping on that trend. I joined being a booze hound. I kind of saw a sign saying Beer House coming soon on Long Street, and that I had just arrived back from the UK from 10 years working over there in restaurants and bars.
Okay.
And really was like what you would call probably a moth to a flame when you see a sign like that. So I popped my head in, and there we go. Four years later, we now have obviously Long Street being the first one, and we have one in Four Ways and one in Centurion. And yeah, we're looking to rapidly expand to spread the good word of beer and now brew food.
We're going to get to the food in just a moment, Peter. I haven't forgotten about you, I promise. But, I mean, how many different types of beer do you serve? When you say a beer house, you expect lots of variety, you expect lots of options on tap. I'm told it's literally 99 bottles, is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
99 bottles of beer on the
that's
wall.
That's where it came from, exactly. And when it came from, it actually came from our designer. We were all sitting around in a restaurant opposite while we were still constructing, coming up with ideas about what we're going to do with beer house. And the designer started singing that song. And I had just come back from UK managing a bottle list of 50 strong, and that was making me grey already. So when the designer started singing that, I was like, stop that right now. But Randolph, being a great brand builder, was not, that's it, that's a fantastic marketing angle. So we've had 99 bottles of beer on the wall since then, at least 25 taps, but we also like to put a lot of other things on taps, like we've got gin and tonic and taps. In Gauteng, we've got brandy and coke on taps.
Wow.
They seem to enjoy that, but iced teas. So anything you can put it on tap. This summer menu, you're going to start putting wine on. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's a new take on the old box with a little tap
yes,
at the
exactly.
end. It's not quite the same thing that you're doing, I suspect.
Metal pup suck.
Okay. Well, we've got our first caller on the line already. So I'm going to ask you to pop your headphones on so that you can listen quite clearly to Tyrone in Kensington. Tyrone, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Good afternoon, Pippa. I recently got a batch of Pilsner Kell beer from someone which was stored in an underground garage. That was cool, but it was from 2014. And after guinea pigging a few friends, we drank it and we were all fine. I just wanted to know, how long can you keep a sealed beer?
Great question, Tyrone. How long can you keep a sealed beer and have it still be safe to drink?
Yeah, I mean, you could keep a beer for forever and it'll still be safe to drink. The fermentation process in it kills all pathogens. So the only way you get sick on beer is if you drink too much and alcohol makes you sick. But it's
been known to happen from time to time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Tyrone, you can keep it and safely enjoy it for as long as it lasts.
Yes, but it's safe, but the thing is, you've got to drink it quite quickly because the beer will degrade in quality after a while. So 2014, you'll probably find that it was a little bit stale. Pilsner Quell is pasteurized, which gives it a longer lifespan, mm-hmm. but you're talking about a year to 18 months when it's pasteurized. Most craft beer, microbrewed beer, is not pasteurized, which means you probably want to drink it definitely within 6 months. Anything after 3 months is going to start degrading flavor. But that's all what micro brewing and craft brewing is about. It's about all about freshness.
And drinking it immediately. Okay, yeah. So Tyrone, from a safety perspective, it's indefinite. But from a flavor and getting the most out of the beer, it's better to drink it immediately. Thanks. We've got loads of questions coming through on the WhatsApp already. Before we get to those, I do want to talk a little bit about the food. Because, of course, the Beer House experience is not just about the 99 bottles of beer you get to taste. Over the course of several weekends, please not all in one go. Brew food. Tell us about the brew food. Hashtag brew food movement. Pitt?
Yes, brew food. Murray and I met at a Braai a couple of years ago. We're talking about food that goes well with beer and brew food and all kinds of things like that. So when Beer House decided to redo their menu, Murray contacted me and we had a few chats and then we came up with this whole concept of brew food. So brew food is sort of a combination of food that goes really well with beer, but also using beer as an ingredient and mm-hmm. using similar techniques used in brewing to actually cook food or to ferment food to get similar flavor profiles.
Okay, give us some examples. I mean, my producer popped in over the weekend and she says the pulled pork was the beginning and the end of all things that are wonderful to eat. But what else is on the menu, for example?
Okay, so the pulled pork comes from our smoker. So we built Beer House a couple of stick-burning smokers. Smokers used for cooking barbecue, mm-hmm. American-style barbecue. So South Africans love brine. We love the flavor of smoke. And the craft beer sort of movement is quite sort of moved a bit with the barbecue movement. That's mm-hmm. also, that you're also seeing in the States and you're seeing it all across the world now. So we decided, so this is a cool way to sort of combine South African flavor with stuff that's that works well with the craft beer movement. Mm-hmm. So we've got five meats in the smoker. And we're using sort of different forms of acacia hardwoods to smoke with. So it gives you sort of a uniquely South African flavor.
Wow.
So pulled pork, obviously, pork shoulder, it's smoked for about 12 hours. But we also brine it in beer. And then we add beer to the last part of the cooking process. So there's beer added three times there. Mm-hmm. Then we're also doing brisket, which is sort of your quintessential barbecue meat. This is also brined in beer and braised with beer. We do a bit of borscht. That's got a bit of an extra ingredient, beer, mm-hmm. obviously.
Wow.
And then we do a whole chicken. And then we do ribs, which is quite awesome, huh?
And let me guess, the chicken is cooked on a Weber with the beer can popped up the middle of the chicken?
No, the chicken's brined for 24 hours in a malty beer and sort of salt brine. There's also quite a little. We made a little spice mix that we're calling Beer House Dust. That's quite lacquer. That's also on the chicken, huh?
Okay, Beer House Dust sounds intriguing.
Yeah, we don't get that off the chandeliers at home.
Thank goodness for that. Right, a question asking you, please, Murray, to tell us what are your top five personal favorite beers.
Oh wow. That's a very difficult question. I get asked that quite often, but I'm what you call promiscuous when it comes to beer. But, it really depends on the occasion. It's about mm-hmm. context, and that's a beautiful thing about beer. There's so much variety. You can have a beer for any time of day, any kind of emotion. But if you're going to put me on the spot like that, mm-hmm. I think if I'm thirsty, I drink a lager, just like most people, because that's thirst-quenching.
Mm-hmm.
If it's cold, I'll drink something dark and probably high in alcohol, so I'd probably say an imperial stout. Ooh, where are we now? If it's nice and hot, and I've just had a lager and I want something a bit more complex, I'm probably looking at a Saison, which is a Belgian-style farmhouse beer.
Mm-hmm.
Directly translates to seasonal beer. It's quite lovely. I thought it would take off a lot more in South Africa, but we're yet to see it. It's kind of got a sharpness to it and very fruity. But I think South Africans are a bit averse to that sharpness.
Belgians like their fruit in beer. I once remember being given a series of Belgian fruit beers to taste. It was banana-flavoured beer, strawberry-flavoured beer.
Yes.
I can't say I particularly liked them. It was very much an acquired taste, I think.
I was just saying to your producer, who was, I think, enjoying it herself yesterday, that it's our secret weapon for people that come into Beer House and don't necessarily like beer because it has no bitterness to it. It's quite sweet.
Yeah,
it's almost like a way of a gateway beer for people that are coming onto the new journey and revolution of their own taste buds.
Okay.
But yeah, the Belgians luckily in South Africa, we've got some great companies. Belgian beer company had imports a whole bunch of great beers from there because they are fantastic. I think Belgium is probably one of the best countries to get beer from.
I mean, they've got that long tradition behind them, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, you've given us three. So the lager when you're thirsty, the Imperial Stout when it's cold, the Saison when it's hot.
Okay, IPA because everyone loves IPA. In America, it's the most drunk beer besides, obviously, or in the craft beer movement. Over here in South Africa, it's slowly getting traction. The difference with it and why South Africans haven't jumped at it completely just yet is because it's very bitter. But they're starting to taper off the bitterness, and it's a lot more about the hoppy fruitiness. But it's a delicious beer. It's very great with food. It interacts nicely with food.
Okay.
So that one more then,
You need to give us one more. Yeah.
Oh, this is tricky. If I'm going to go for one more, it's definitely going to have to be something excitingly strong in alcohol. Therefore, probably a Belgian beer. They're very good at balancing high alcohol beers. Something that they do in Belgium is they actually sip on beer and treat it more like a wine. So you often see the big bottles with the Belgian beers. They're less down laddish, you know, pub kind of vibe. It's more sip on it like a wine.
So you're really probably
talking about either Belgian triple or double. They're both high alcohol, lots of complexity and flavors.
Okay.
That's something you drink around a fire in a nice big chalice glass, probably wiggling your toes after work.
What difference does the glass make to the beer? I mean, is there a set of rules on what goes into what shape glass, or does it impact on the flavor?
Yes, no, very much so. I think it's important that when you are going to a bar and drinking craft beer, that you are being served the correct glass for the correct style of beer. And yes, there's all sorts of different reasons. Probably the most obvious one that you see in South Africa quite a lot of, and if you go to Germany, is you see the Weiss glass. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a shape like a pleasant woman, I would say, with all the right curves. But it opens up nicely at the top, and it allows for creating a lot of foam stand, so the foam on top of the beer. And why they want to do that, encourage that, is because that's where all the aroma in beer is. And also the top of the foam that keeps the beer fresh underneath. So a lot of times I've seen people complain about getting too much foam on top of their beer, but it's there for a good reason.
That's really interesting. Mm. So to keep the beer fresh underneath and to trap the aroma there. Okay. Mm. Thank you. That's answered a question from someone asking how important the foam is. I appreciate that. Mm. Just a reminder that you can call us with your questions on 021-446-0567. Very important question given the water crisis in Cape Town is what water sources are used in making all this beer?
Wow.
You're not actually making it yourselves. You're serving beer that other people have made.
We're serving it, but I mean, it is a good question. One we've been asking ourselves, like, what are the brewers going to be doing about it? I know Newlands, SAB Newlands, use a spring, which is obviously an aquifer, so that's not a huge problem for them. But I think meat and beer are big users of water, so the water sources that they're using is municipal at the moment. Mm. So it's going to be interesting because obviously with D-Day looming in March, what happens after that? Are they going to stop making beer, and what does that do to everybody?
Okay.
Makes them crazy, probably.
Watch the space. Okay. Solly in Langa asking if you can please explain the difference between lager and beer.
Oh, a lager is a beer. So you get three big churches of beer. You get lager, ales, and wild beers. Wild beers are only very much a new thing, and obviously in the States and Belgium, it's a long tradition. You'll start to see them come out here. They're quite sour. They're fermented with wild yeast. Mm-hmm. Difference between the other two churches is based on the yeast used. So lagers have only been around for 500 years, and it's actually a mutation, weirdly, from some Patagonian yeast strain that found its way to Germany somehow.
Wow.
And mutated with an ale yeast and was very much more aggressive. So when I say aggressive, with yeast, it consumes sugar and obviously dries the beer out. So that's why lagers are a lot more crisp and dry and bitter, because the yeast is actually more aggressive than your ale yeast, which is a little bit lazy but loves to give off fruity flavors. So that's probably the best way to describe
it. Really good scientific explanation. Sorry, I hope that's cleared it up for you. Thank you. A reminder that the most interesting caller or the best question of this segment wins a copy of Beer Safari by Lucy Korn, which is a really interesting read through all the different craft breweries in South Africa. Beer House does get several honorary mentions in that book, I should mention, by the way.
Thanks,
it's published by Straight Lifestyle. If you'd like to win a copy, call us now on 021-446-0567 or leave your question as a voice note on 072-567-1567. I'm interested to know whether more women are starting to drink beer as more varieties of beer are emerging in South Africa.
Good question. My wife actually started a movement called hashtag She Loves Beer, which got a lot of traction in the press. It was a great movement because it was talking about women being able to drink beer on their own terms and not having to be, you know, portrayed in all these quite masculine-driven beer adverts and companies of these hot girls in bikinis drinking beers is like, and also only drinking pink beers and only getting offered pink beers.
Yeah.
So that movement has done very well. A lot of people have seen it as a positive. When we opened Beer House, I was a little bit worried that, you know, it would be like a bit of a party with a lot of men in it. But so pleasantly surprised. We're talking about sometimes in Beer House, you look around, there's majority women and then there's men. And you will see them not only drinking your Liefman's Frites, which happens to be pink and sweet, but you'll see them drinking IPAs and all sorts of other beers. Okay, we've actually got into trouble before for offering a lady a pink drink, and she gave us a bad review. But I think my staff learned from that and stopped profiling people and actually just asked them what they like to drink.
Well, good on you for learning for the mistake. It's Brew Food, B-R-E-W, not B-R-U, I think is the answer to the question. Pete, a question for you from someone asking, when you're cooking with beer, does it matter what kind of beer you use?
It does play quite a large role. If you're cooking with beers that are quite high in hops, you lose a lot of the fruity characteristics that are in hops, and you're just left with the bitterness, the resin. So you wanna stick to malty beers if you're cooking with it, unless you're looking for specific flavor profiles.
Okay, thanks for the answer. Right, Malcolm's on the line from Durbanville with a question or a comment. Malcolm, good afternoon.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I'm just inquiring from your gentleman there. If he has any knowledge of BrewDog from the UK in Scotland, if they would be sort of appearing in South Africa soon.
BrewDog from Scotland and the UK. Are you familiar with it, Murray?
Absolutely. We take a lot of inspiration from them. They've done amazing things in beer. When I was in the UK, everyone was drinking cask ales, and it was a bit of an old man's thing to drink beer, and they've made it sexy and appealing to a new generation. They've taken crowdfunding to a different height. Their beers are available in South Africa, and they have been for some time. I think Beer House and Four Ways and Centurion are the only places to have it on tap. Iconic IPA called the Punk IPA. We have that on tap, and we've also got the Elvis Juice, which is funnily named. They actually got sued for it, but it's a grapefruit IPA. So it's definitely available here. Whether you're asking if they're coming to build bars here, we'll have to see, because they are expanding rapidly all over the world, building their bars as well.
Interesting story. Malcolm, thanks for raising it for us. And then someone on the S-Man last asking about Bock beer, saying, I had wonderful Bock in winter in southern Brazil.
Bock beer is amazing. I should have said that earlier with my top five beers. We actually, luckily enough, get one made in Namibia that's freely available here in South Africa called Urbock. A Bock beer is a very strong malty lager. So when you pour it out, you wouldn't even think it's a lager because it's dark in color. And you're usually talking about 6, 7, 8% in alcohol. It's a sipper. So, delicious. So good call on that one.
Thanks for the tip. The one I've had while traveling recently was in Madagascar, Three Horses beer, which was, icy cold at the end of a very, very, very hot and sticky day. Is that one that you guys would serve?
Yes. I mean, I'm not familiar with the name, and I'd like to get a lot more of the Southern African, our neighboring countries' beers in, but unfortunately, they're not freely available. I love, when I've been to Tanzania, you have your Kilimanjaro, you have your Zambezi, and they create such a emotional reflex in your mind when you drink these beers again. It almost takes you back to your holiday. So I'd love to stock more of them so people could experience the
could
holidays.
Could recapture that. I was going to say, the first line of Swahili I learned was Mojo Buridi Tusker Tapadali. Please can I have a cold Tusker. I can't believe I still remember that after all these years. We can squeeze in one or two more questions. A WhatsApp asking, is there a difference between a beer you get out of a keg versus a beer from the bottle?
Yes. Keg is always fresher. Bottles are obviously should be dark, so you get your brown bottles and your green bottles. Still, unfortunately, UV light gets in there and makes it stale. No light goes into kegs, so it's always going to be a lot fresher. So if you've got the option between the two, always take draft, always take keg.
And then we know, unfortunately, beer has the reputation of being the least diet-friendly of beverages, to put it mildly. It's got a reputation of being very filling and very fattening. Yes. There are light beers available. Is that something that you see growing as a trend, as people look for something that's lighter in calories and also lighter in alcohol content?
Yes, I think that's why Castle Light is as popular as it is. And it's refreshing. It doesn't have a huge flavor profile at all. But yes, it's kinder on the boop, as they call it.
Okay. Interesting question here on the email asking where beer sits within the vegan, vegetarian, organic community. Does it differ from brand to brand, I assume?
Yes, it's largely vegan. I mean, probably 100% in South Africa, 100% vegan. The only time it wouldn't be vegan is if they're using something called isinglass to clarify the beer, which is actually from a sturgeon, which is a fish's swim bladder, which actually drops out all the proteins in the beer and keeps it clear. It's a very traditional way of making beer, usually in the UK when they're putting it into casks, but we don't have that here. So, yeah, I mean, all beers are really vegan. Organic, it would vary from brewery to brewery.
Okay. Yeah. Pete, we put Murray on the spot with his top five. I'm going to ask you to give us your top three that you'd recommend are worth trying on a visit to Beer House.
Definitely the beer tries. It's doing quite lekker. We're emulsifying beer and cheese together with little emulsifying salt, and it's quite a kiff little dish. Huh? One of my favorites would be the Amazi chicken sandwich, mm-hmm. which is quite lekker. It's marinated for about 12 hours with loads of different spices and then dipped into flour and deep fried southern style. But we, instead of using buttermilk, we're using duck milk or Amazi.
Okay.
And the third one, brisket. That's sort of quintessential barbecue dish to get right. And after tinkering with it for about a month, we've gotten to a point where we're quite proud of the brisket. Huh?
Okay, so go and try the beer chose, the Amazi chicken sandwich, and the brisket. My vote from my producer went for the pulled pork. She said the cheese on top finished it beautifully. So worth trying all of those on a visit to Beer House. Guys, thanks so much for joining us to talk about the hashtag Brew Food Revolution. For the sake of those who missed the start of the conversation, we need to tell them where Beer House is here in Cape Town. You're on Long Street. Where on Long Street?
Long Street, best described as opposite Mama Africa, because everyone seems to know where that beautiful building is. But it's okay. The top of Long Street, so not far.
And open every day? So what days
yes,
a week? Yes,
we like to call ourselves a 365-day a year beer festival. So we are open every day, even on Christmas Day.
Well, what more do you need to know? The website is www.beerhouse.co.za. Big thank you to Murray Slater, co-owner of Beer House on Long Street, and Pitt Maria, the man behind the Brew Food menu. Can't wait to come visit, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.